It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Reverend Larry Ball, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Hollister, California. The title of his message is Selfishness versus Selflessness. The text is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4.
Let me begin this morning by expressing my sincere appreciation for the opportunity to minister here these 2 days. The university here has played a great role in my life, has been a great blessing in my life, in the life of my family, and I appreciate this ministry greatly. I hope you somehow appreciate the ministry that God has allowed you to be a part of here in your education. Don't take the things that are given to you for granted. Be very grateful for what God has allowed you to be a part of here. Let me also just make a couple of comments as I begin this morning. It's been interesting preparing to preach for chapel, the different perspective from being down there as from being up here. It's interesting all the advice I have gotten, much of it in regards to what jokes to tell and what jokes not to tell. Most of the jokes that were given me were as bad as mine, so I didn't choose any of them. And it's interesting just to see things from this perspective. You know, you really are. Actually, you look closer to me than I think I do to you from down there. And so what that means is that the speakers up here, the preacher, really can see you. And he really can see when those who are sleeping or doing something. You know, when I was a student, I remember Dr. Bob, I used to think he just did this periodically. We'd look to one side of the auditorium and he'd say, young man over there in this section, wake up. Go see the Dean of Men after chapel today. And then later in the year, he'd do the similar thing, maybe here in the middle of the auditorium and maybe sometime later over here. And I realized that when he did that, about 10 or 12 guys would show up in the Dean of Men's office. But you really can see up here. So it's a great experience. And I hope you do appreciate the ministry here. Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. The book of Philippians, chapter 2. Yesterday, I preached about the subject of humility. And today I'm going to look at another issue that is closely related, but equally important in our Christian lives. Our text is the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and I'm going to particularly look this morning at verse 4, but I'd like to begin by reading verse 3, which really touches, again, on the issue of humility. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then verse 4, he adds, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We are told that we are not to do anything through strife or vainglory. We are to esteem others better than ourselves. That goes against our grain, our human nature. But then he goes on to say, not to look every man on his own things, but to look every man also on the things of others. Don't be preoccupied with yourself. Be preoccupied rather with others. And the issue that is addressed here is the issue of selfishness versus selflessness. Now, we might be able to say this, to state this issue in a little bit softer terms. But really, I think selfishness is the issue. Selfishness is a big problem among Christians of every age and no matter what their walk with the Lord is. Years ago, I began to notice in dealing with people the problem of selfishness. Just in counseling people, in dealing with people, even in ministry, in interviewing people, maybe for staff positions in our church or school, I began to be very concerned in what I felt and saw as a great preoccupation in some cases with themselves. Selfishness is a big problem. It's a part of our sin nature. It's really the root, I think, of our sin nature. Wanting to do things our own way, wanting to do things ourselves. But far too many Christians allow themselves to be driven by selfishness. There are far too many Christians, there are far too many Christian workers, far too many students who bow the knee to the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. That seems to be the preoccupation of so many people. What will this do for me? What does this mean for me? What will I get out of this? The following passage here from which we have read in Philippians chapter 2 goes on to describe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no greater example of selflessness than our Savior. And this passage following this describes the great selfless act of Christ, who made himself of no reputation, took the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And yet, though we as the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ appreciate what he did for us and appreciate his selfless sacrifice for us, we far too seldom follow his example. And we far too seldom do as he himself did. As you examine the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you find an example in Luke chapter 9 where three would-be disciples come to Christ. They want to follow him, they say. They want to be his disciple. And yet, two of them specifically point out to Christ right from the beginning that they're willing to follow him, but they had some things they wanted to do first. "Let me first go bury my father," said one. "Let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home." Someone has well said that they had a place for Christ, it just wasn't first place. This "me first" mentality, "let me first do this. Let me first accomplish what I want to accomplish. Let me first deal with this, and then I'll do what the Lord wants me to do." We live in a very selfish society. You are bombarded with messages to promote selfishness all around you. I often hear people repeat the world's mantra that they have to, you know, put themselves first, or they have to do something for themselves. "I have to have time for me," they say. And declining are the numbers of people who are willing to put the Lord first in their lives. Let me ask you something as I get into this morning. When you graduate from here, and some of you are only a couple of months away from graduation, some of you maybe a few years from graduation, but when you graduate from here, some of you have already made your plans. Some of you are in the process of making your plans. But are they God's plans? Are they God-centered plans for your lives? Are you set on doing what you want to do? Or are you set on doing what God wants you to do, what our Lord who saved you wants you to do? Are you determined to be and to do the will of God, which is selflessness? Or are you determined to do what you want to do, which is basically nothing more than selfishness? There's a difference between a selfish person and a selfless person. We can spot a selfish person usually pretty quickly, at least someone who is overtly selfish. I can bring a box of cookies to your room and probably we can find right away the selfish nature of some people. In fact, probably your roommates could tell you whether you are selfish or not. But what does a selfless person look like? How do they act? What are the characteristics of a selfless person? Well, I think in this passage of Scripture there are at least three characteristics of one who is truly selfless. The first of those characteristics is that a selfless person lives for a cause greater than himself. A selfless person lives for a cause greater than himself. It says, "Look not every man on his own things." There is a cause worth living for that is greater than yourself and greater than your own little world. David asked when fighting and faced with Goliath, he said, "Is there not a cause?" In Psalm 74, verse 22, the psalmist speaks of God's defending his cause. Ephesians 3:1, the Apostle Paul says, "For this cause he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Later in the same epistle, he says, "For this cause he bowed his knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He goes on to say, "For this cause," in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "we faint not. For this cause," he said in 2 Timothy, "I suffer these things." There is a cause worth living for that is greater than yourself and greater than your own interests and greater than your own world. It is the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many people in this world who are searching for a cause for which to live. Protesters today are basically people who are searching for a cause. Every once in a while, I will see some ridiculous cause that someone is fighting for. It might be some environmental issue. It might be some animal rights issue. It might be some social cause. And people are fighting and protesting for things virtually of every stripe and every flavor imaginable today. And many of these people simply, I think, are trying to find a reason for their existence. Something worth living for. And so they attach themselves to some type of cause. But young people, there is a cause that is worth suffering for. There is a cause worth living for. There is a cause worth even going to prison for. There is a cause worth enduring all kinds of trials for. It is the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a cause of the kingdom of God, the cause of the body of Christ, the church. It is a cause that is real. Men are dying. Men are going to hell. The kingdom of God needs to be proclaimed. The gospel needs to be proclaimed. The kingdom of God needs to be advanced. It is a cause that is worth standing up for. It is a cause worth giving our lives for. If you understand and have a real cause for which to live, you are not going to have to spend your time hugging trees or rescuing rats. There is something far more worthy to spend your time and give your life to. It is the cause of our Savior, Jesus Christ. A selfless person lives for a cause that's greater than himself. But also a selfless person lives for others rather than himself. Notice again our text says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We are not preoccupied with ourselves, but we ought to be preoccupied with others. There's a passage of Scripture I know you're very familiar with, but let me just read it to you briefly. It's Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he is basically saying why he did what he did and basically giving us a brief summary of what his ministry had been like. He says in verse 23, he talks about how he says, I have been in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me, the daily care of all the churches. Why did Paul endure that? Why was one of the most brilliant men of his day, one of the most highly skilled and trained men of his day, willing to give his life in such a way that he would have to be subject to all these trials and heartaches and difficulties? Why? I'll tell you why. Because there are men and women that had never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were people that Paul ministered to, from whose lips Paul heard the gospel for the very first time. Paul had the privilege and Paul had the burden of ministering to others. And even those, once they were saved, Paul had such a continuing burden for them that he would give his very own life for them to see them grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why are we not doing more for the cause of Christ today? Why are we not reaching more people around the world than we are? Well, there may be a number of reasons, but I believe one of the major reasons is selfishness. We are preoccupied with ourselves. We are not preoccupied with the needs of others. Why are we not moved with compassion upon the multitudes? Why is it that when we hear about the needs of the mission fields around the world, why are we not moved with compassion? Why do we not ourselves ask the Lord if He would not have us to go? Or if we would not go, why are we not burdened to see at least that others go in our place? I believe it's because of selfishness. Today, millions upon millions of people are headed for an eternity in the lake of fire. As we sit here this morning, people have entered into hell. That is a very sobering reality. But most of us, quite frankly, don't really think much about that, and many perhaps don't even care. Why? Because we're too preoccupied with our own things. We're too preoccupied with what kind of clothes we're going to wear, what kind of things we're going to get to do, what kind of entertainment we're going to do, what kind of toys I can buy for myself today, what kind of approval I can get from my friends, rather than being concerned for the needs of other people. Because we are so self-centered. We are so looking inward to ourselves rather than looking upon the needs of others. That people with tremendous needs all around us can perish and we barely lift a finger. A selfless person is concerned for others rather than himself. But thirdly, a selfish person lives for a time beyond himself. He lives for a cause greater than himself. He lives for others rather than himself. And he lives for a time beyond himself. What I mean by that is this. Later on in this chapter, a few verses later, actually down to verse 10, Paul begins to speak of a time in which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is a day in which you and I will stand before the Lord. A selfless person lives with eternity in view. He lives for a time beyond today. On the other hand, a selfish person cannot see much beyond tomorrow. A selfish person looks at what he wants to do today, and he looks at tomorrow only if tomorrow has some benefit for him. But he doesn't look much beyond that. He doesn't look to see what his actions are going, what impact his actions are going to have upon others. He doesn't look to see how his life is going to affect other people. Pretty much all he is concerned about is what's going to make me happy today? What's going to give me some pleasure today? What's going to give me some satisfaction today? And he's blind to the fact that someday he or she will stand before the Lord. Peter spoke of those who were blind and could not see afar off. I call that spiritual short-sightedness. A selfish person is spiritually short-sighted, nearsighted. He cannot see afar off. He never stops to consider what his or her actions may have, what impact they may have to other people and how they may impact other people in days to come. All over the country today, and all over the world for that matter, stand churches, schools, camps, ministries that have been established for many years, ministries from which probably most of you have come, ministries that have impacted hundreds and thousands, perhaps even millions, for Christ. And they exist today because a generation of Christians years ago had some foresight. Rather than thinking about themselves, they invested their time, their money, their energy. They invested it into the future. And you and I reap the benefits of it today because we have been blessed, we have been saved, we have grown in Christ through the ministry of those institutions that have been established. But they are established only because there were people who had some foresight, who were selfless. To replace those ministries today would be, from a human standpoint, impossible. I don't know if you even stop to consider, but the whole story here of this university is a miracle. Can you imagine what it would take today to replace the buildings, just the monetary cost of replacing the buildings and the facilities that are here on this campus? Not to speak of the faculty and all the staff and the gifted people that God has brought together in this place. Why does this university exist? It exists because people generations ago had a selfless attitude that foresaw the future, that foresaw that what they did could have an impact for generations to come. And you and I reap the benefits of their foresight. We reap the benefits of their selflessness. But I wonder today, what are we leaving to the next generation? What are you going to leave to the next generation? Are you going to leave stronger ministries? Newer ministries? Are you going to be used of God to establish a ministry that will reach generations to come, if the Lord tarries, or to at least be a part of and help to existing ministries. Often, we are not living for a cause greater than ourselves. We are not living for others. We are not living with eternity in view. And many of us who have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by the one who gave himself for us, are so self-centered that we cease and we stop. We don't even contemplate living for anything beyond ourselves. It has been said that most men, I think it was Dr. Bob Sr., had said that most men who have done anything for the Lord have first come under the power of some great dominating truth. I know for me, the thought that really propelled me into the ministry was that I wanted to stand before the Lord someday and be able to look back on my life and to realize that my life counted. That I had not wasted my life amassing a fortune, buying all the material things of this world, earning all that this world could give me and acquiring all the world could hand to me. But I wanted to be able to stand before the Lord knowing that I had given a life for the Lord and that as a result I could look back and see lives that had been touched for eternity. I wanted my life to count for eternity. Now, I wonder this morning if you could ask yourself some very heart-searching questions. What are you doing today for the cause of Christ? Are you living for a cause greater than yourself? You say, well, I'm a student. I'm preparing to serve the Lord somewhere. Well, you can, in being a student, and even in studying for some type of ministry, you are not necessarily doing that for the Lord. You could have ulterior motives to why you're doing what you're doing, even if you are supposedly going off to serve the Lord somewhere. Are you doing what you're doing for the cause of Christ? Are you studying here so that you can prepare yourself to be used of God? Or are you preparing yourself so that you can be rich and famous someday? Or have everything that the world wants you to have? You could be here as a student and you can still be living for a cause greater than yourself. If you're studying whatever your major is, whatever classes you take, if you're doing it for the honor and glory of the Lord, then you're doing it for a cause that's greater than yourself. But I'm afraid there's far too many people who are doing it only for themselves. Are you doing what you're doing today? Are you doing things for other people? Not only are you living for the cause of Christ, but are you living for others today? What are you doing today for others? Are you living for others? Are you concerned about people that are lost? Are you concerned about Christians that have needs and need to grow? Or do you see people with problems as just an inconvenience to you because they get in your way? They're a problem. They don't let you do what you want to do. But are you really living for other people? If you're not living for other people today, chances are 10 years from now you will not be living for other people. I jokingly said at the beginning, if I brought a box of cookies in, your roommates could, we could find out who was selfish or not. But your roommates could tell you if you're living for others or not. You might not want to hear it. But they probably have a real good idea whether or not you're living for others or whether you're living for yourself. Are you doing things? Are you living today for other people? And then thirdly, what am I doing today? What are you doing today that will reap eternal benefits? That will reap eternal rewards? See, there is a cause worth giving yourselves to, young people, greater than yourselves. There are others who need your help. There is an eternity in which you will live. Are you living for that? Are you living for others? Are you living for those causes, for that cause? Your answers to some of these questions really will reveal whether you are living a selfish life or a selfless life. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let's pray. Father, help us today to recognize that we need to live for Thee. Lord, that there is a cause greater than ourselves. Help us, Lord, to live for the cause of Christ. Help us, Lord, to be willing to look upon not only our own things, but upon the things of others. To live for other people. To realize, Lord, the needs of people all around us. All throughout this world, all throughout this world, are men and women lost and dying without Christ. Lord, help us to open our hearts and our eyes to them. Help us, Lord, to live with eternity in view. Lord, may we not be so self-centered that all we can see is our own world, our own goals, our own desires. But Lord, may we be willing to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them upon Thee, to look out to others, and Lord, to live not for our own things, but live, Lord, for that which will be honoring to Thee. Lord, burden us with the cause of Christ. Help us to go from here today, not living for our own glory, but Lord, living for Thee. For we pray in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Larry Ball, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Hollister, California. If you'd like a cassette tape containing yesterday's and today's messages by Pastor Ball, send a check for $7 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.